Hello and welcome to the Man Cave Confidential Podcast. I am Darren O'Neill. I am coming to you live from my bunker deep in the heart of Middle America, just outside of Chicago, Illinois. It's a beautiful, warm day, and we're going to try to enjoy that because soon enough, it's going to be 40 below zero. Across this big virtual desk today is FJ Shark, pickup artist extraordinaire, although he's a little rusty now that he's married. His wife doesn't appreciate him going out and picking up women.
I used to be, was that with the Buzz Lightyear thing? One day you're saving the galaxy, and the next day you're having tea with Mrs. Nesbitt.
That is pretty much the life of the shark. Sad, but true. On today's show, we've got our top 10 guy TV shows of all time. We've got a letter from the mailbag from somebody who doesn't want to get shot by a husband. And, I mean, really, who does want to get shot by a husband? And we have, of course, the proverbial much, much more. So go over to your fridge, grab yourself a tomato juice and a big stalk of celery, and get ready, because the Man Cave Confidential Podcast starts now. The Pub Crawlers, All For Me Grog. I figure, what better on a beautiful Friday morning than a song about booze, tobacco, and everything else. So how are you doing this morning, Shark?
We're doing great.
This is episode 8 of the podcast.
Yes.
People said we wouldn't make it past 3. I mean, nobody may be listening
past
3.
Close friends, what the hell are you people doing?
Right. We thought you guys were friends. Ha.
Yeah.
But we got a rating on, at least one rating on iTunes, so thank you to that fine gentleman for giving us a rating. Glad you're listening to the show.
And other shows listening in, and other people wanting to be interviewed. We're getting a list of people that want to be interviewed. We have to just set them up.
Which is the great thing about podcasting, really, is that there is a brothership, there is a fellowship. All the shows understand that we're in a completely new medium, and that the best way for everybody to succeed is to help promote the other shows. So if everybody's on an island, it takes a lot longer to find an audience. It really helps out. You know, if everybody, just think about it. If you take 10 podcasts and you each only have a few hundred listeners, and everybody intermixes that audience, right, Boom, huge audience, and the sky's the limit. So it's really cool to have other shows listening in. We listen to a lot of different podcasts, and that we're going to be doing interviews and introducing you to other shows as we go on. This has been just a couple of weeks as we figure out exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's so diverse. You've got people who, you know, own a cigar distribution company all the way to a personal development coach. It's like, you know, okay.
Everybody likes to talk. That's what we're finding out. Everybody likes to talk. And, get different viewpoints in, and to find, you know, we're trying to find our niche. I mean, I think we're fairly wide open. You see a lot of podcasts that do this. You know, and they go, wow, we're not getting enough people listening, so now we're going to go and we're only going to do this. Or we're only going to do that. And they try to be much more focused. It's like, you know what? A focused show is a little bit more boring. You know, you run out of content. You know, we feel we can be, you know, entertaining and help on a wide variety of topics. And
well hence the man cave theme. I mean, anything that's involved in the man cave, that's like an endless supply of material that we could do.
Right. And I mean, I always, for a podcast, I always hesitate to talk about sports because you can only cover so many teams unless you're bringing in a wide variety of people. You know, it's like we're in the Chicago area, so we'd be talking about the Bears, the White Sox, probably not the Cubs, the Blackhawks, the Bulls. But for everybody listening in another city, that might just turn them off. So it's hard unless you're talking about, you know, hey, who should you pick for fantasy football or something like that.
Or the Super Bowl or something that's, you know, everybody would be in on, even if they don't like, you know, those aren't even in their top 5 teams, they're still going to want to watch.
Right. And there are plenty of podcasts out there that are nothing but sports. So we figure we may mention it from time to time, but we're not going to focus completely on sports.
True.
We're going to do everything else that guys like, which is, you know, women.
Put up a poster of sports. Admire.
We have a poster. Yeah. Have a few of those. You know, music, movies, books, any kind of media. And, booze. Neither one of us smoke, but we're willing. I mean, we're willing to try. We're willing to learn about cigars. You know, that's a guy thing, although it could take years off your life. If you're married, you might be happy the cigar's taking years off your life. And maybe I never thought of smoking until I got married. And then I was kind of like, shorten my life? Cool. I'll smoke three packs a day.
I remember after a Christmas party when I worked downtown, we wound up at the Velvet Room and later found out it was like the a big cigar room. Velvet Room. And I thought it was going to be a strip club thing. And here it's a cigar, some cigar place. There's smoke everywhere. I guess this is before the rules of you couldn't smoke in the public place type right. thing. And, you know,
and that law kind of pretty much screwed the cigar bar, didn't it?
Yeah,
it's like, wait a minute. Our whole business model is people come here and smoke. Well, that's illegal now.
It was across the street from House of Blues or something. So I guess they bought them out or something for the space. But somebody handed me what they said was a chocolate cigar. And I'm thinking chocolate candy, right?
Right.
And I'm like, because so I don't bit smoke.
It.
Yeah, I'm like, this is real. Oh, you meant chocolate flavored tobacco, real cigar.
That's different.
Artificially flavored. I'm with you now. Where do I rinse my mouth?
Newbie.
They're like, I just paid $20 for that. I'm like,
that's okay. You paid $50 for your drink.
Hey.
Oh, welcome to Chicago bars.
Exactly.
Pricing is no object, at least to them. For you, it may be, but not for them. Do you want to get into this? Okay. Do we want to do the TV show thing first, or do we want to get into this question about this guy who's really?
His question was dire. Like as soon as possible. Yes, right. He's probably hiding in a closet right now, trying to figure out how to pull his pants up with loose change in his pockets.
Yeah, it seemed like a dire question. He seems to be falling into the trap of the high school reunions.
But he did email us at mailbag@mancaveconfidential.com. It says here, hey, Man Cave brothers.
We are brothers.
That was a pretty unique opening. I'll give him that.
We are brothers from a different mother.
Brothers from a different mother. Heard your show, you know, where you talked about reunions and going or not going.
This is what happens. He went and bad crap is happening.
Yes. So it brought up all bad memories for him. Man, when I went back to mine, I met up with an old girlfriend who is now married. Married being the word we should underline here, because I know where this is going.
And make a bigger font.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
See, now here's what I don't understand. If we can take an aside from his letter for a minute, I'm assuming that at the high school reunion, the woman showed up without her husband. Because you know how this goes. It's if you didn't go to the same school, especially,
right.
You know, or if you met after high school and you really don't know any of her high school friends or his high school friends, if there are women listening,
right.
And you go, oh, gee, that sounds really boring. You just go. You go, honey. You go and have fun. Big mistake.
You spend the $65 in the cafeteria with no carpeting or cloth napkins.
Right. You go to that reunion. You don't let them go alone, because when you let them go alone, you let your woman go to a reunion alone. This is what happens. Horny guy finds your woman.
Well, I'd like to know how many, sidebar to this, how many people,
sidebar to the sidebar,
how many women or, you know, go there and, you know, they hook up with some guy there at the reunion, you know, right. Back in the parking lot. Because like you said, the spouses usually aren't there. All this old, you know, chemistry comes back and they're like, or people who said, hey, you know, I always thought that we'd get together and you never called me. Oh, well, here we go.
Right, you know? It's 20, 25 years later, 15, whatever it is, and you're on.
Next thing you know, you're in the gymnasium making use of all the gymnastics equipment or something. Who knows?
There is something. I mean, there's something to be said when you go to a reunion. I've never been to one. But I understand what they are. And I understand the effect hearing, you know, say a song from a certain era brings back memories. Well, what happens when you go to your high school reunion? They're playing music that was playing when you were in high school. So you're literally being brought back with all these same people. So all of a sudden there's familiar people around that you were with in high school. There's familiar music going on that you heard in high school. Sometimes, like you said, you're actually in the high school.
Right.
And your brain just kind of like does a little boom, a switch is flicked, and you feel like, oh, I'm back in high school. You know, I'm not 40 years old and have a wife and kid at home. I'm in high school, right. And here's the cheerleader that I never got to bone, and now right. She is interested in me.
Yeah, especially if you're in the cafeteria or the gymnasium with the you know, the setup, and you know, prom time again or something, or wherever it was held, and
right.
It's like, my gosh, you know, that's. You know, I mean, I remember the list going around for the one dance. They wanted One song recommendation was Boom Boom. Just when you said Boom Boom, that brought that back. I'm like, right in Boom Boom. And the other one was, Jermaine, somebody, we don't have to take our clothes off to have a good time.
Yes.
Remember that one going around?
I believe we do. You know, that was the case in high school. 20 years later, I hate to tell you, the rewrite is, we'd really like to take our clothes off to have a good time.
But all, and then they're supposed to fit that on the cup. Like, right. It's like, how are you gonna, we don't have to take our clothes off to have a good time. Junior prom, sophomore, but what?
It's like a subtitle on an FJ Shark book.
That's right.
When it just runs, when the subtitle doesn't even finish, it just runs off the bottom of the, you know, cover. That seems what that's like.
That is the sales page, the subtitle.
Yes. Yes, it is. So, I mean, really, people do, they get into a completely different mode, in a completely different type of thinking. There's alcohol involved, which there may have been when you were in high school, but it was hidden. Now it's not hidden.
Right.
People are getting lit, and right. you make bad choices.
Candies are dropping.
Right. Candies are
skirts
dropping.
Are popping.
See, that's the subtitle. The 25-year high school reunion. Panties are dropping.
.com.
Right. I mean, who wouldn't want to go for that?
High school, should I attend my high school reunion? Just drop your pants.
Right.
What? So it's, if to finish here, he says, she keeps texting me and seems like she wants to do more than just keep in touch. What should I do? Now here's the interesting part. Signed, don't want to get shot by a husband.
Well, see, now we wonder, is the husband a hunter, police officer, possible psychopath? You never know.
Carpenter with lots of tools.
Carpenter, right. He could,
2x4s.
Yeah, 2x4s and power saws. You could really dismantle somebody pretty quick.
Well, my advice has always been, this never ends well.
No.
For anybody. Eventually you get found out. So there's, you know, 7 billion people on the planet. 3.5 billion are women. Find another one.
Find a one that doesn't have a husband that might shoot you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's,
and I'm assuming he's single. He never says, but I'm assuming he's single. She's married, and he's wondering if he should be the her little bit of side action.
Right, which only adds to him increasing his chances of being caught, because if he's single, nobody's, you know, looking at his phone, intercepting a phone call, a text, something like that. But if you have a girlfriend or wife and they're hearing the phone ring or seeing the text come in, well, now you just doubled your chances of getting caught. So, you know, now the odds are really going against you.
Right. But she keeps texting him. So what does he do? Does he break it off entirely? Does he just go back with, hey, I just want to be friends. Don't want your husband to shoot me.
Right.
You know, I mean, does he just break it off entirely? Because I guess it would depend on how actively she's pursuing him. He doesn't really say, although it seems like she's dropping hints. And usually if a woman's dropping a hint.
Right.
You know.
Well, I would just, you know.
Action is going to be taken.
Say you just, you know, first of all, remember, step one,
don't be a dick.
Remember that whatever you put out on the internet, text, whatever, is going to be recorded. So the husband, even if you break this off, might still see whatever texts come in, because she might break down someday and see all this.
And there's a really good chance the phone is in his name and he can do whatever he wants.
Right. So, with that in mind, just, you know, say you just met somebody. Say you know, you're getting together with another, you know, you just met a new girlfriend, or you're going out with somebody else who you're just starting up a new relationship now, even though at the reunion you were single. Maybe that's what you told her. I'm not seeing anybody. Well, whatever time it's been, say you met somebody last night. Move on. As long as reunion wasn't last night.
Right. I met somebody else at the reunion. It was your best friend. And
in the parking lot, on the way to the car, the strangest thing happened.
Right. See, she was never interested in me until you told her you were interested in me, and then she rocked my world, and it was good.
It's good. Yes.
Or you could just go the other route and go, texting is too dangerous. Let's get secret email accounts in. Let's rendezvous at the No-Tell Motel on Shady Lane.
The Come and Go Motel, and then there's next to that one. But there's... Yeah, or let's take that tech tip advice and get a phone number from Google Plus.
Well, but, Google Voice. Yeah, Google Voice, you get a phone number. You can also use, there are a variety of services out there. One is, I think it's called Ring Shuffle here. Let me take a quick look on the phone. Ring Shuffle is a It's an app that allows you to get a, here we go. So I hit Ring Shuffle. Let's see if they were still under maintenance mode. The last time I checked, the app didn't work. It's basically Ring Shuffle. No, says new need, new number.
Oh,
now it just seems like it's sticking on the, oh, here we go. It's logging me in. Or it's not. Oh, there we go. There's my mobile number. Get new number. Select your new number. And it's showing me none. So, let's see. Method is not allowed to do. Okay, there's some still maintenance mode. My guess is the service is shut down. Their website was still there the last time I checked. But there may be other services that do this. Basically, this was the kind of like Google Voice, where they obviously have a set. They have a bunch of phone numbers. And instead of giving it to you and it's assigned to you for as long as you want to use it, this, there was a limit on it, whether it was like, I think it was like 2 days, but you could release it at any point. So if you're sitting there at a bar and you wanted to give somebody your number and prove that it was yours, you could be like, give me a new number. Boom, it gives you the number. You give that number to them. They call you once. It rings. You're like, see, it's my phone number. The minute you walk out of the bar, you go, new number. Boom. Next time they call that number, it's not you. Uh-oh. Good services, though. I mean, if you do need a temporary phone number, and it's great for stuff. You know, this is why, you know, for things like if you want to sell something on Craigslist and you don't want some your number to be out there forever.
Right.
Temporary phone numbers, great idea. So if you need something like that, there may be services like that, but that's still not to say you're not going to get caught.
Well, when I switched my new, just a regular new phone number, it was around Christmas time, and I had whoever had the old phone was texting and me saying Merry Christmas and hope they had like, who are these people? It's like a phone with built-in friends. Thanks.
It's a new service we've got going on.
Happy New Year.
Right. You got, instead of having your inputting your friends and family, we've just got friends and family loaded into the phone for you. Not rent your friends, friend. Not your rent family.
Rent a friend, rent a family.
Right. Why not? Sometimes you need that family. That way you can get rid of the, just when you're, you know, your illicit side affair with your old high school flame. You know, look, I got a family now. But you said you were single yesterday. How'd you get a wife and three kids?
Went to a website.
Right. Went to a website. It's a whole, it's completely different than match.com. But it's a slippery slope because I understand the psychology of it. And you understand that people, you know, and maybe some, you know, if things aren't obviously really going well in her relationship, people look for things that are, you know, that are comfortable. You know, they look for things that, you know, people that they know, and it's, you know, it's easy to fall back into that, you know, especially if you dated somebody in high school, they feel you're safe. And, you know, instead of normally taking, you know, hours or days to get to know somebody before they want to, you know, jump your bones, this is like, well, you just boom, you're right back in that, you know, you've done all that pre-qualifications. And, you know, if she's hot, I understand it's hard for the guy to resist if he's single and available, but, you know, I would guess the good advice would be run. The guy advice would be, how hot is she?
Right.
How fast can you run? Can you outrun a 12 gauge?
Is she leaving her husband? Are they separated? Are they, you know, but that could go on for years. You know?
Don't expect it to be free of drama or tidy if you're going to go, if you're going to walk into it. Be ready for a bloodbath. Quite literally, maybe, if you're saying
some rabbits like, boiling on the stove.
Right. Be ready for any bad thing to happen. So take care. I mean, we definitely can't, you know, without knowing the situation, it's hard to go just run. That would be the safe bet. You know, run fast. But, you know, when stuff like this comes up, guys sometimes make bad choices. So if you're going to make the bad choice, you know, be prepared for bad things to happen.
Yeah. Very bad.
Very bad. If he is a police officer, I'm going back to just the advice is run. If he just happens to like to play with guns, you could buy a bigger gun. wait, let me make sure we have a disclaimer that all advice given on the show is not given by a professional or should be taken seriously by anybody to the point to where we may be liable for something that may or may not happen to you.
No one should listen to us for anything. Thank you very much.
Nobody should listen to us for anything of whatsoever. Our lawyers say we have to say this.
If something good happens, we will take full credit.
Right.
Something, other than that, forget it.
Yeah, something bad happens. That was all you. So I think that was good advice. So enjoy your high school reunions and beware. So, I mean, I think the best advice we're getting from this letter is not to the guy that wrote the letter, but to anybody who is dating or married to somebody whose high school reunion comes up, and that is go along with them, grin, bear it.
Right.
Be there.
Right.
Because there's no good reason not to go. And so every one of their friends that, you know, is at the reunion is going to go, hey, where's Jim? Mm-hmm. Oh, he didn't come? What a dick.
Right.
You know, and then everybody's telling her that. She's going, yeah.
And just wait till she gets home.
He's kind of a dick. You know? And then when her ex-boyfriend cop, you know, comes over to try to cop a feel, she's not really pushing him away. So that's the advice we're learning right here is go to those reunions if your girlfriend slash spouse slash boyfriend is going.
Because if not, after that comes the girls' night out, followed by the girls' only vacation, and it's right. Like, oh, come on.
But we're going to let you in on a little secret here. It's not really a girls' night out or a girls' only vacation. It's her and her old high school boyfriend.
Ding, 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 ding.
Right. I mean, you'll notice that she Facebooks everything with her other friends, but the new friends that she reunited with at the high school reunion, they don't really do that kind of thing. They're not into taking pictures of everything or checking in or doing any of that stuff.
Right.
It's completely different. Yeah. Be scared. Be very scared. Go to the reunion. That's all I'm telling you.
Well, a tip like that, I never try and post where I'm at. I post where I've been.
Right. Because that's safe. I always feel if you're posting something like where you are, yeah. There's a robber sitting outside your house watching your Facebook page going, huh, he's that far away, huh? Yeah. All right, thanks. I'm in. You post it like a day later. Yesterday I was at the ball game.
Yeah, right. I mean, when this summer we went to in Iowa to see the American Pickers Antique Archaeology.
Right, dig that show.
And we posted, Were they
there?
That.
Was Frank there?
No, they weren't there, and Danielle, I think, is only there like in the late evenings when they close it to the public.
Okay, so that's not even real then. She's just there for the show.
Right. There were other employees there selling the T-shirts, the books, the, you know, bumper stickers and all that. And it's just maybe they had stuff for sale. But, you know, I believe they work out of another warehouse. You could see the Mississippi River right from there. They must be either down the block or somewhere else. And this is just what the one you see on the show is where I was. It just looks like the size of basically like a gas station where you'd have, you know, the two garages where you could pull cars and where they work, where the mechanics would work on it.
And they have another place now in Nashville because they're expanding.
Right. But, you know, the next day, I waited a few days to post that. And then, you know, somebody put, you know, they saw it like, you're not in Iowa. I just saw you today. I didn't say I was in Iowa. I just posted a picture. Maybe it was a month ago. Maybe it was just a few days ago. But it's like people, whenever they see that, unless it's like some old glossy, you know, like what do you call those? The instant photos, Polaroids that have that orange look to it. Then, you know, is from the 70s. They just assume it's happening now.
Right. Anybody who posts a picture, it's like, boom, that's where he is. That's what you're doing right now. Because the technology there, people are like, well, why would he take a picture and not post it for 3 or 4 days and then post it? Because I don't want you to know where I am all the time. You might show up there and I think you're a dick. .com. But people don't get that. I mean, there is such a lack of concern now for privacy and, you know, where people knowing where you are and other people checking you in on Foursquare or Facebook or a variety of other sites that, you know, it's interesting to watch because we're marketers. You know, we've all been in sales. We understand that all this kind of data is very, very helpful. And for a person, it can be helpful too. I mean, I always thought, and I mean, there may be some of these that are out there now that, you know, especially for people like musicians, where people are gathering at a concert or something like that. You know, I always thought Jimmy Buffett, for one, should have a dating website. And it would be only for parrot heads. But now get this. You put the app on your iPhone. And since all these iPhones have GPS now, if you're on the just if you're signed up that you want to meet other parrot heads, you know, one, when you're at the concert, boom, you could see everybody that's there, and then you could instant message them. So you'd be like, right. Hey, you could search, and all these people are at this concert right now. But it goes further than that, to where anytime somebody that was on that list who's active was within X amount of, you know, feet of you. So say you're at the mall or you're at the Starbucks, and all of a sudden your little app goes, zzz. Well, you could look and see, oh, look, it's Parrot Head, and what's, you know, see your stats, see a picture, and be like, hey, if you're interested, instant message her and say, hey, right. We should meet up. You know, and do something that is much, that is that, that's all based on the geography. You know, I just thought that would be really cool. I haven't seen anybody doing that yet, but it's like, that would be a great way to put fans of a certain band, you know, so you know, you have something in common, boom, easy icebreaker, right? It's like, oh, hey, Jimmy right. Buffett. I mean, I think it would be genius if somebody could figure out the logistics of that. And again, I don't know if people really want their life online that right. much.
Or he doesn't want the liability of it because somebody will sue him, you know.
Well, because some guy's going to kill somebody that he met off of that. And then it's like, it's your fault.
Right.
No, you signed up the waiver. You signed the waiver. Didn't you read the waiver? You always read the waiver.
Button.
Right. So I just thought that was interesting. You know, there's the technology can be used for good. It can definitely be used for bad. And, as we talked about, what's the point of going to your high school reunion anymore anyway? Because you see everybody on Facebook.
True. I remember my parents went to their 50th anniversary of a reunion of grammar school.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, it's down to like maybe, I don't know, 20, 30 people that actually showed up or something. And when you start hearing these people passed away, these are sick, these people are too sick to come, these people live too far away. You know, and that generation didn't, you know, I don't think is anywhere near as active. Right. You know, they've got their 13 friends on Facebook, like we talked about. You know, that's it.
Which is better, if you ask me, than the people that have 3,000 friends on Facebook.
Right. Right.
They're old school.
They're old school. And that's it. And then, you know, they get on there and they miss every, they go on once a month and they, oh, hey, hi.
Right, let's party. What do you do? If you're that old, though, what do you do to party? I don't even want to. Let's go get some denture cream together. It'll be great. I know. Mean. Sorry if there's old people listening. What are you doing? Go take your naps. Go have some lunch.
But they might be watching TV.
Right.
Which brings us to a great segue.
Yes. It is the top 10 Man Cave Confidential Guy Approved television shows. You know, I said of all time, but I did get a couple shows that were then off the air for a while, not on the list. But there is, again, the mind works in crazy ways because you, right. When you think of TV shows, it's hard to remember stuff
right.
that has been, you know, that you haven't watched in over a year or so. I mean, they just like disappear. I mean, I do this on my TiVo, and it scares me because you have on the TiVo, you have the, I don't know if you have a TiVo or a DVR of any sort. I know you're the anti-tech guy, right. But you put in a season pass. So if you like a show like House, you know, when that was on there, boom, put House in. I wanted to grab every new episode of House. So you don't even have to worry about it. Anytime it's on, it just gets recorded. Well, these lists always just sit there. The shows don't disappear from the list just because they disappear from the network.
Right.
So after like 5 years, you're going back and you're looking at this list of stuff that you had watched religiously that has been gone for a couple of years. And you go, you look at the name and you're like, what was that? Who was in that show? What was it about? I don't remember. And it, you know, it's like getting old, man. I
tell
you.
Yeah. Well, because it's weird because that was such a, you know, a big part of your week or you look forward to it. And then now other things creeped in and it's not even on your mind anymore. It's like, what?
Like I watched that. I watched lots of those and I don't remember any of it. It's like movies. I mean, when we were younger, you know, and not even much younger, I'm talking, you know, maybe 10 years ago, it was like, why would I want to watch a movie again? I've seen it. I know everything that's going to happen, you know, except for like when you're a kid and it was Star Wars or the Blues right. Brothers, and you wanted to watch it a billion times. You right. know, for me, it was like, what's the point of watching a movie more than once? You know, now I can go back and, you know, it's like, okay, well, I know I saw this movie. Let me start watching it again. I saw it, you know, 15 years ago or so now. Right, and you're right. watching the movie and you're like, I know I saw this, but I don't remember this at all. You know, it's like your entertainment You really only need a handful of shows, and your brain, the buffer, is only like 10 or 15 years. Once that amount of time passes, you can go back and watch it again. You know you're going to like it.
Or just certain scenes, like Glengarry, where he goes, put that coffee down. You know, I love watching the Alec Baldwin scene of that. It's a good sales motivation type thing. You know, that. But yeah, you're right. The other parts, you just kind of move on through.
Right. It's like, oh, I don't remember that at all. And so when I was trying to make this list, I mean, that was the other thing. There were shows that I like that were definitely not guy shows.
Right.
So I tried to remove those. I mean, House was one of those. Like, I really liked watching House. But I really wouldn't constitute it a guy show.
Right.
It didn't do anything that was like a talk show or unscripted comedy. Otherwise, The Man Show would have been on there.
Right.
You know, there were shows like that. I was trying to just stay with the scripted shows that I enjoyed that had either were surrounded, you know, the main characters were the main relationships were guys, or that, you know, it was really like a good shoot 'em up kind of thing. I mean, that was a criteria I used. I don't know if that was around the same as.
What? Yeah, I tried to, you know, stay with that, but there were shows, like you said, you know, like for me, it was say something like The Jeffersons.
Right.
Weezy. When they were on the air, even like if they were in, you know, slight reruns from like the 70s, 80s, I'd watch, probably saw, you know, 99% of the episodes. But now when it's on and like MeTV or something.
Right.
It's like I put it on for a few months. I'm like, yeah, I'm not interested. It's like,
right,
I used to watch that all the time. Right. And now
Sherman Hemsley, well, God bless him, man. I know he passed away within the last year or so. That was a great show for the time, but some of them, you're right, some of them don't, you know, stand the test of time either.
Right. I mean, even though they're, you know, they're playing the reruns, so, you know, people are watching, but it just felt like, you know, it's like, you know, it was like, for me, like I could watch 90210 certain seasons.
The original or the new one?
The original.
The new one rocked.
Well, this is the one from like the 90s.
Right. That was the original.
The original one.
Although I wouldn't put the new one on a guy's list either.
Right. Right. But
although there were hot broads.
Yes. There's certain, the segments of them where it didn't get too goofy were fine. But Melrose, can't watch Melrose in reruns for some reason. It's like,
can't stand them. Not going to do it. Heather Locklear's cute and all, but no thanks. Can't watch that show.
Well, maybe it just had too much to do with like reality, or people, you know, they were you know, struggling. They're on hard times. They're doing stuff. It's like, and I don't want to see this. You know, and 90210, it's like they're with their friends. They're having fun.
They're rich.
Know, they're rich. You know, let's go that way. You know, it was a lot better than, you know, people wondering how to pay the rent.
Right. Yeah, that was definitely more of a downer. So I mean, there's lots of good TV. Number 10 on my list, we can kind of go one by one as we go up. This was an old one, and I put it in the guy category just because I think it's a lot of, you know, it really did surround, there, although there were women characters in the show, it really did surround around the guys in a war zone. MASH ran forever.
Got it on mine here, but that's on my, not on anymore, but in reruns list. Yeah.
See, well, that's I have it upstairs. I've got the box of every episode. So at some point I really do need to open that and get back into it. Cause that was another one of those shows that when it was in reruns, you'd watch it just like over and over and over again. And it really never got old. Great writing.
I probably still see like 5 episodes a week.
Well, it's great characters.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what it all comes down to. You know, they're great characters. The interaction really worked. And, I mean, it has to be a guy thing because it's, you know, you're in a war zone, you got tanks, you're, you know, the relationship, you got the still. I mean, come on. What man cave would not be complete? What man cave would not open its arms wide for a still in the corner, you know?
Or when Frank moved out and you had the Henry Blake Memorial Bar. They took his trunk, they made it into a bar with Christmas tree lights.
That was a guy thing. It's something guys would do, and that's why I love that show. And again, it was the relationships that really, I think, made it work.
Right, and that could have taken place at any time. And the fact that it was, you know, the army, it was kind of taken away from, you know, the reality of where they lived. You didn't see the way the cars looked. I think I saw a car maybe one episode. All you saw was
the jeeps
and everything. So it didn't, you know, strike you as, you know, the time frame where you were at. So you just believe the same situations could be happening. Like you said, the relationships could be happening now.
And it's definitely one of the best dramedies of all time. I find myself really drawn to that kind of show, to where at one moment it can be slapstick hilarious, and literally they flip a switch and they're tugging at your heartstrings a minute later.
Right.
And that can pull that off while seeming natural, while, you know, it's just getting you involved in the characters' lives, which is what any good show is going to do. They're going to pull you into the characters to where you're like, hey, I care about what happens now.
Right.
I mean, that's when you know you have a bad show or a bad movie, is if you're, you know, watching and you're just like, I don't really care if this guy gets hit by a bus.
Or they don't have any real personality. You could be watching for 10 or 15 minutes and you're like, I can't get into this because I can't relate to the character. I don't know what it's about. Is this guy the owner? Why is he acting that way? What's he doing? And where Mash, you could turn on any episode and you'll know what's going on.
Right. You're immediately in that universe. So what do you have for number 10?
Well, I had a different way, of course. It's like I had the TV shows that were on now versus ones that were like in reruns. But in the reruns, I did have MASH. I had
Suicide is Painless. I mean, how do you not like a show where the theme song is Suicide is Painless? And there are lyrics to it if you want to look it up online.
See, I had Saturday Night Live from back in the day with the John Belushi
Eddie Murphy. I didn't go the non-scripted, but that was right. That was the ultimate. And Saturday Night Live now sucks.
Right.
I remember that was the best thing when my parents were either on vacation or they would be out on a Saturday night and my grandmother was babysitting, because she didn't care if I stayed up and watched Saturday Night Live. And it was something that I definitely shouldn't have been watching when you're like 10 years old. But, you know, Belushi and Aykroyd, Gilda Radner. I mean, that was the best. To me, again, a lot of this stuff is that the first time you see it, you know, that's who you kind of get caught in with. Like when you first watch Doctor Who, well, whoever the first doctor you see is, that's your guy. Well, with Saturday Night Live, I kind of feel the same way, in that once that cast was gone, it was kind of like, well, there were some okay people after that, but it was never the same.
Well, because they did their own characters within the show, so that scene kept getting repeated. Anything right. From, you know, the church lady, the Coneheads, the, you know, wild and crazy guys, to, oh, I
Steve
hate when,
Martin.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate.
And then the other one, I hate when that happens. You know, I put about 12 feet of that barbed wire. Yeah. Up one nostril, down the other, tied to the waist of a full grown mountain lion, fire my Star Wars pistol, and he takes off. I mean, I didn't hear that for 20 years. It's coming back to me. It's like, you know, it feels like my face is going to rip off. And Billy Crystal's like, I hate when that happens.
It's ingrained firmly in your mind.
Yeah. So when you have that, and, or the what was it, John Belushi with the samurai, the deli, and all that. So I mean, or the newscast when he would do that and he'd flip out and that's why you tuned in. Yeah,
he was coked up all the time. He was genius.
But that's right.
He knew how to make you laugh. You know, I mean, it was just, he could get that look on his face. You know, which if there's a couple different times where that really sticks out. You know, one, Animal House. Two, the scene in the Blues Brothers where Carrie Fisher finally catches them and they're trying to get through the sewer.
Right. Right.
And he's down in the mud. He finally stands up, takes off those sunglasses and gives her the puppy dog eyes. He's like, baby. Like, genius.
or just I think, was it right before that where he goes, I had a flat tire, my tux didn't come back from the cleaners, there was a flood, locust, it wasn't my fault.
And you're going, every guy in the world has used these at one point or another and it never works. But usually the girl isn't holding like a semi-automatic machine gun. But again, we don't want to get shot by an ex, you know, an angry husband. We also don't want to get shot by an angry ex-girlfriend.
Who keeps blowing up our building.
Right. Right. You definitely want to be very, very careful with that.
I mean, who else is in that era? Billy Crystal, Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy with Buckwheat.
Oh, no, Eddie Murphy with Gumby, when he did Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Was that, I think he was in that character when he was like the poetry where it's like, kill my landlord. Kill my landlord.
This is how we answer a door in my neighborhood, boys and girls. Who is it?
Oh yeah, with the well, it was again Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, where I remember one, and I mean I don't know how many times they pulled this scene, because I'm assuming at that time television was a little bit stricter with this kind of stuff. But I remember, because again, he's playing off that he's Mr. Rogers, so he's, you know, going, oh, the word of the day, boys and girls, is bitch. Oh. Well, how do you know if you said it right? Well, go up to your mama and say it. If she slapped you across the face, you said it right. When you're at the age that we, that's like 10, right. 12 years old, you're just like,
right.
You're right. Like watching this, like, it's like, oh my God, this is great.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've got your little cassette tape of, you know, Eddie Murphy, comedian Raw. Or, well, Raw was a little bit late, but you had like Comedian and Delirious. And, you know, you're hoping nobody hears you and all that. But my favorite word of the day was ransom. And he's petting the dog and he goes, word of the day is ransom. I ransomed dog out the yard. Now I got him.
But so. You see, this is, again, this is something that happened 30 years ago or so. Right. And it stuck because That's what made it good TV.
Well, and the other, because now it's like they're forcing it. And then they get to that punchline and they should end it. And They keep going, and you're like, you know, rather put a new skit in here. Don't drag that one out. You know,
but sometimes it was the drawn out skit that was so painful, which is what made it funny. When you're doing it purposefully, you got it. It's all timing, though. You have to know how to do it.
Yes.
Now the next show on my list, I'm actually going number wise. I guess you'll kind of like magically fill in yours here. This is a fairly new show. I think it's only in the third season now. Hell on Wheels.
Oh,
it is a fantastic show. Anything that involves, you know, I dig period pieces when they're real, when you're dealing with, you know, this is you're fighting the Indians. This is right after the Civil War. You've got the North and South kind of people still interacting. And this is the whole story of building the railroad and the kind of stuff they ran into while you're moving this camp from place to place as the railroad moves on. But, I mean, that is some gritty characters. Hmm. It is a great storyline. It's on, I believe, AMC.
Okay.
Great storyline, just great. I mean, it really does take you into that time. Some great cinematography. And Cole Meany is in it. And that's pretty much for me. Anything with Cole Meany in it, you have to watch it. The guy has never made a bad movie. And we watch. Well, he also doesn't age, which is very weird. Because, you know, here we are, 2013, and we see him in Hell on Wheels. We know, so we've seen him very, very recently. This is a current project. And we watched Layer Cake the other day, a movie from, you know, about 10, 12 years ago, I believe. And he was in that, and it's like, he hasn't aged like a day. There's like something weird going on here, man, because he just like never changes. He may be a vampire or something. But we've watched like a bunch of obscure British, Irish movies that he's in. He always plays, you know, a heavy. And it's always the guy you don't want to mess with. And he also plays that in Hell on Wheels. But then there's the character Bohannon, who is a little bit younger, who took over his job. And they're, you know, going back. This is the kind of thing to where, you know, when they run across, you know, Indians, they will behead them. You know, there's a lot of killing going on. It really breaks the human condition down to the bare bones basics. I mean, there's prostitutes. There are, you know, newly freed slaves working on the railroad and everything that you can imagine with all these people together in that time period trying to interact. You got the guys from Ireland that had just, you know, came in off the boat who end up running, you know, the whorehouse. And it is just. It's mind blowing, but it's all very well acted, and the stories are amazingly good. So I figure anything that has that old West, while it's not in the old West, it has that vibe, you know, where it's the gunslinger kind of mentality, good versus bad, and there's a lot of gray area in between. That's Hell on Wheels. It belongs on any guy's watch list. Mm.
Cool. I had a third list going of shows that I've heard are great.
One list. You had three.
I'm an overachiever here.
Right. He had like 14 lists.
But
have one show.
But it's like I started putting down like shows that I hear are so great, but I never tuned in or something. It's like you go to a store and you see towels and T-shirts of Duck Dynasty,
right.
And I just never got into Duck Dynasty. I, you know, a couple of shows I watch, I'm like, I don't.
I don't.
Maybe it's great if I watched it more, I could get into it, but I'm like, I don't.
Well, I think Duck Dynasty, it may be great if you're drunk. You know, and it's reality TV, and I've never really taken, besides a couple of the first seasons of The Real World, I can't say that I've ever watched reality TV that I liked, because, except for Pawn Stars, which is a completely different thing. That's like Antiques Roadshow, but with a lot of, you know, cooler stuff.
Right.
I just don't buy the reality TV. You find out so much of it is fake. We watched like 15 minutes of Duck Dynasty the other day, just after the thing happened where the guy was asked to leave his hotel. Did you hear about that one? They were in New York. They were promoting a book or something. They were like going on Regis or Kelly, whatever the show is now. The one guy was in the hotel, and he asked one of the employees where the bathroom was. Well, the guy looked at him and he thought he was homeless. So he walked him out the door, pointed him down the street, and said, "Good luck to you." You know, and here's this guy. And from what I understand, again, I'm not a Duck Dynasty guy, but from what I understand is they created, or their family created, some kind of duck calls.
Right.
So they're millionaires, but they're, you know, hillbilly to the core. You know, have the big, you know, scruffy beards, dressed in clothes that you could probably find on a homeless person. So you can understand.
It's the Beverly Hillbillies all over again.
Right, right. Except they're pretending this is real, to where there's a couple of the, like, their wives and stuff are kind of like model looking, you know, well put together. It's like, I just don't buy it. You know, but I did, like, I appreciated the way he handled it when they took him and they thought he was homeless, because this was about the same week where Oprah was complaining that in Switzerland or somewhere that she went and asked to see a purse and they told her she couldn't afford it.
Right.
And she made a hissy fit.
Right.
Like, there was like, oh, this is all racial. It's like, it's not racial. It was like a $40,000 purse. It's like, it wasn't like, you know, I can't stand that everybody jumps to it must be a racial thing. It's like the same thing with politics right now. If you disagree with Barack Obama, you must be a racist. No, I just think he might be an idiot. You know, it has nothing to do with the color of her skin. Oprah, the same thing. So, somebody telling you when you walk into a store, you know, and all, if they have other bags, from what I understand, they had other bags that were just normally priced, which I don't even know what normally priced for handbags are. You know, people pay hundreds of dollars, and I think that's crazy. But here's like a $40,000 purse, and she asked to see it, and the sales clerk just goes, oh, you can't afford that. She would have probably said that to anybody that walked in the store. You know, it's like, well, nobody can really afford that. That's just, you know, the showpiece kind of a thing.
We don't get fingerprints on it.
Right. Oprah jumps right to the, oh, they're racist, and they don't want to sell me a purse. Well, here's the Duck Dynasty guy who's probably more popular than Oprah right now. I mean, I haven't seen her on TV lately. She bought her own network. That didn't really work.
Or t-shirts at Walmart.
Right. You don't see Oprah t-shirts at Walmart. No, Duck Dynasty you do. And this guy laughed it off. He was just like, hey, you know what? I could understand why he might have thought I was homeless. His family thought it was hilarious.
Right.
You know, and they were just making, you know, they were like, because it was in Donald Trump's hotel. They were joking around like, oh, Donald's going to be, you know, he's going to be really, you know, upset about this, you know, because he's going to feel bad or whatever. And they're just laughing it off. And the guy's like, look, you know, he told the story on the Kelly Ripa show. And I guess they just looked at him like they were in like shock, like, oh, my God, how can somebody treat you that way? And the guy's like, well, look at me. You know, I mean, if you can't understand how they made the mistake, then you're stupid, because this is the way I dress. And you see homeless people and I kind of look like them. They kind of look like me. He's like, I hope the guy doesn't get in trouble for it. He was doing his job. He was very nice to me while he was leading me out the door.
Wearing, you know, camouflage in downtown New York.
Right. Probably. Right. You're probably wearing camo overalls, a dirty white t-shirt, and you got the beard, and you're just like, you're in an expensive hotel to boot. I can see where that can happen, but that, you know, that says to me a lot about people, how they deal with adversity, how they deal when something like that happens to them. Oprah throws a hissy fit and wants to claim everybody's racist against her, and this guy from Duck Dynasty is just like, no harm, no foul, no pun intended there.
Right, right.
It's like, I can appreciate that a lot more. I definitely can appreciate that. But otherwise, no, we've never. I mean, literally, we were flipping. The White Sox were getting their asses kicked the other day, so I was flipping the channel back and forth. So we literally caught like a couple segments of the show. That's all I've ever seen. Not something I would watch, but obviously they're good guys. Mm-hmm. They don't take themselves too seriously.
Oh, it looks funny. I mean, there have been, you know, even movies I've gone to where lots of people are laughing more than I am. It's not like it's silent. It's like right. It appeals, you know, it's hilarious to some other people, you know, and then I'll watch an episode of Family Guy and start laughing and people will be like, that's not funny. I'm like, it's hilarious.
That's rude.
Yeah, it's rude. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, that's the point.
That's the point.
Maybe you've missed the point on that train because rude was exactly what we were looking for.
You know, but the, go on.
Yeah. Number 8 on my list. It's on USA. I just discovered it this past year and now we're caught up. This is, I believe, the third season they're in. Suits.
Okay.
Have you seen Suits?
No, that's on my list over here now of
things you need to watch.
You need to watch.
But we watched the first couple of seasons on Amazon Prime. And I mean, it's a great lawyer show. I mean, the whole thing starts, the one lawyer is looking for an associate to bring in. They only hire out of Harvard. And the same hotel, this kid who is not really down on his luck. He's a genius. He's a guy that has a photographic memory.
Okay.
He's just in the college age, but he's a screw up. He's a pot smoking guy. Doesn't really apply himself. Well, his buddy, who's a drug dealer, has him go be his mule so he can make some money. Right. But he realizes something is horribly, horribly wrong as he's walking past the hotel room to make this drug deal. You could tell there's like a cop looking guy and somebody else trying to get back into the room, like they got locked out or something. So,
okay.
This, he all of a sudden realized this is bad. You know, they that watch him walk by and they're thinking this is him. So they follow him. He ends up running down, you know, trying to get away from the van. And, he comes in through where this guy's doing the interviews, where he's looking for a lawyer. And he runs in, and he runs into this room because he's trying to get away from the cops. And the cops come in, and they don't see him because they're just the waiting room. But he, like, went right in, and he starts getting interviewed. And he's like, well, what are you doing here? And the kid, like, goes, and he's as he walks into the room, the briefcase explodes open. Drugs go flying out all over the room. So the lawyer is just kind of like, probably not my interview, right? Well, the kid sits down and, you know, he's like, oh, well, you know, it eventually goes like he wants the job. He's like, well, you know, you didn't go to Harvard. You don't know, you know, whatever. And he's like, well, ask me anything. And he like asks him something about the law and he quotes it specifically. He's like, well, I had to take the bar for somebody.
For somebody.
Right. So he's studied because he's got, you know, again, you have perfect, you know, you have photo recall. Well, you read the text you need to read for the study guides, and he took the bar for so he knew the
answer. Wow.
So, long story short, he ends up getting hired, and then it's 3 years of hilarity. There's beautiful women in the show, but it is really based on the cases, and it's really based on the relationships. It's not a steamy soap opera kind of thing. There's a little bit of that thrown in, but a highly recommended show.
That's cool. Put that on the to watch list. I mean, or, you know, something I never got into was like Dexter. I just keep seeing that all over, but I never got into it.
I've never seen it either.
You know, it's, I mean, a few people you talk to that it's like their favorite show. It's like, oh, you know,
oh, you got okay. Dexter.
You got Dexter. But I mean, I noticed when you said about reality shows, a lot of mine are reality shows. Anything
you like reality.
Yeah. It's like, you know, Deadliest Catch, where they go, you know, the crab fishermen in Alaska.
Those guys and then, are crazy, man.
Yes. And I think that they have to be a little bit crazy to do what they do. And the show that follows that is usually after the catch, where they interview the... Thank you. Wonder how they came up with that
we
name.
We need a second show. What can we do?
After the Man Cave Confidential.
Right.
.com.
I like it. Let's just add after. But yeah, those guys are nuts. I've seen a few of those. And I mean, I can understand why seafood costs so much when you see what these guys have to go through to get it. I mean, really, you wouldn't catch me on one of those boats.
No.
I can see why it's on a Man Cave Confidential list.
Yes. Yes. That, I mean, for, you know, there's easier ways to make some money than, you know, worrying about being tossed overboard in freezing water.
Right.
You know, but, you know, I think we touched on Pawn Stars.
Yes. Love Pawn Stars.
American Pickers. Even seen that, you know, then also it had, I think, American Restoration.
American Restoration. Rick Dale.
Did you see the one where Rick from Pawn Stars is buying the car for his dad for the birthday, right, and they went Chevy. Through each they went through each show. It's like he asked the pickers to find it.
Right.
And then it was on their show.
Right.
And
you're like, I'm called bullshit because you can find anything you want to. This was just a way for the network to get people to watch every one of these shows. And it worked.
And then it went to Pawn Stars, and I think he bought it. And then they took it to American Restoration. And they fixed it up. And then all the shows met, for the birthday.
And they brought Count in to help American Restoration.
Right.
So it was every one of the shows involved.
Exactly. Exactly. Last night I saw some on Pawn Stars. I know it was an older episode with Christmas where Chumley rigs the Secret Santa and he puts his name
on everybody's.
That was genius. If you do that in an office or something, nobody's going to catch on to that. These people don't even talk to each other
until Christmas, and nobody else gets a gift.
He didn't think it through that much. It's like you're walking home with all the gifts and everybody got screwed.
Some comedy gold there.
Yes.
And I like what they do with the show. Although, as the show has progressed, I feel like a lot of those side bits are completely scripted. Because, some of the stuff you go, well, there's just no way Chumley's that stupid.
Right.
And that some of that stuff, it's like, why do that? You don't need to do that. I mean, it's okay, but you have to have some funny stuff just going on naturally. And really, what most people want to see is the stuff being brought into the store.
Right. Right.
But all of those would definitely be on my, they're all on our watch list. We do watch all of those. So, and they are all really kind of manly shows. Besides, my wife likes Pawn Stars, but not really into the other ones.
Right. Okay. But, and then you've also got the adding, we're doing a sidebar on the list to my hot women list is the new employee on Pawn Stars. She works the night shift sometimes with Chumley.
Oh,
I forget her name. Dark hair, glasses.
Right, the girl with the tattoos.
Tattoos, and then
she was like a suicide girl.
Wow,
that's what they fired her.
Oh, they okay.
They fired her because that she was, they didn't like that she was on there. Although Rick had her come back, I don't think she'll be on the show, but I think she may still do work for them.
Okay,
but they didn't like the fact that she was a suicide girl.
I just thought they were like moving her aside because it was the night shift, and they. On the night shift, and they
Pawn Stars after dark.
I got a Rolex. I need to double down at the Mirage.
Right? Can you give me at least $20 for it? No.
I got a marker. I want to get a marker. But the other one, like we talked about, the book expert.
Rebecca Romney.
Yeah, like we were saying,
I've got a few books. Can you come look at them, please?
There's some whips, chains, and lingerie going on under that librarian outfit, let me tell you.
You can only hope.
You can only hope.
That's what makes it a guy show.
That's what makes it. But, it seems like it's all, for me, reality show. I mean, I don't know if we'll probably have to continue this as a hook for another show or something. But, Shark Tank.
Yeah.
With the people going and pitch their ideas for their, either to expand their business or start it. And I think the thing with that show, people think they're getting just, they're looking for maybe a loan. So right. They only want to give away 5% or 10%
right.
for, $100,000.
Right. Well, every one of them values their company at millions of dollars. And it's like, well, how many sales have you had? $3.94.
Or no, when they say 10,000, how much have you sold? 10,000. Units? No, dollars.
Right. Well, how much are they? Well, they're $1,000 a piece. We had 10. Yeah. Well, what's your profit on that $1,000? $3.97. Yes.
I felt sorry for that guy selling whatever it was a meat company. And he's losing money.
You can't beat our meat.
You can't beat our meat, whatever. It was like over $1 million in sales. And he's losing 50 grand. And they're like, why are you doing this? Leave it alone, a mail order meat type thing. It's like, don't worry, we'll make it up in volume.
Other people are doing it. Don't worry about it.
You're better off playing the change machine at the Mirage or the MGM or the Bellagio, something. Your odds are better playing the change machine. Put in a dollar, get out four quarters, you'll feel like a winner. That show, I think that people think that they're getting a loan. And the way the sharks look at it, all the people with the money, they're like, no, I want 40-50%. It's going to be a partnership. Right.
They're investing time and money and their expertise.
Right. Right. This isn't just a room full of angel investors here who are giving you, you know, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000, and they're getting 1% of the company, and they have no input on what you're doing, you know, except, you know, do I get a return on my money? And it's a crapshoot.
And these they want people, a return on their money.
Right. They want to return their money, but they also know that the sharks also know they're going to get phone calls going, you know, hey, I need help. Hey, you know, I need your business expertise. Well, that's why you have to give up 30-40-50% or more, because you're getting their help. It's not just, you know, 5% and we'll see where it goes. It's like, no, you know, one's coming in looking for a loan. The other one's like, no, I'm going to be partners with you. I'm going to make decisions with you.
Because I think you're going to screw me with my money. So I want my money back. But that, no, that is what see, I don't look at that. I know it's a reality show, but I don't really look at it as a reality show to where, you know, they're following people's lives. You know, this is, hey, you're coming in and you're making a pitch.
Right.
And I mean, I think that's genius. And because I always thought, you know, from just reading things, you know, hearing, oh, Mark Cuban's a dick. Like, I don't know. He seems like the nicest guy on that show.
Right. Right.
He seems like a softy. You know, you do a little, bat your eyes a little bit and maybe cry, and he feels like he can give you $100,000 to make you feel better.
But yeah, well, he also he gets a lot of the more modern businesses than the other ones don't get. They either, you know, don't get the way the market could be moving or the wave of that, and he sees like real people, their interaction with whatever new ideas coming out, and I think he's willing to take more of a risk than most of the other sharks.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. And it helps, you know, I think all these guys are self-made. So, you know, they're looking to, they're looking to make money. And if they think your idea sucks, they're not going to go along with it. But if it's something new, or at least something that they think is sustainable and they really like you, there's a little money to be had.
Well, the one guy I thought that was going to not make any money or not going to get any offers was, it was called, I Want to Draw a Cat for You. .com. And then he had
I want to draw a cat for you.
I'm like, what the heck?
.com.
Yeah. For $10, or at least that's what he was pitched on the show. He would draw cats for people, posted on like a cartoon type cat, not even like, you know, this is the way your cat really looks type.
Right.
Cat.
So it's not like photorealistic painting.
Right.
It's a bad strict stick drawing of a cat.
It could be a stick drawing, or what was that? Felix the cat, the one that, you know, like the classic clock.
Right. Picture Felix that the cat.
Right. Picture that type
I
of cat.
I used to watch that cartoon.
Okay. And I never did.
You never saw Felix the cat?
I didn't watch it regularly. It's probably between McGilla Gorilla, Woody Woodpecker.
Oh, McGilla Gorilla was awesome too. Yeah.
We got to come up with a list of cartoons next.
Right.
That's another hook.
Hey there, Tennessee. Wait, that's Chumley.
Tennessee. Chumley. That's where they got the name from.
Tennessee. And Chumley. How you doing, Tennessee? And Tennessee Tuxedo was all proper English.
And then Mr. Whoever would always get him out of the trouble.
Mr. Whipple.
Whipple, Mr.
And the Wayback Machine. You're wishing you had a Mr. Whipple Wayback Machine right now.
What the heck are you saying?
Right. See, I don't know. I don't know why I'm here. I don't even know why I'm doing the show at this point.
The cat.
I'm out of here.
Thank you.
The cat. I want to draw a cat for you.
Yes.
.com.
It's real. Try it. Check it out. No, but it's Kevin, the one of the billionaires on the show, is like, look, if you get hit by a bus, how do I get my money back? So their first thing was, you know, well, I guess we need to hire more artists, because the idea, I guess, is that people compete on his site to have like the most outrageous place you could put a cat, or you say, I want, you know, a cat fighting an alligator on the moon, you know, something weird like that. And they'll do the simple drawing and then that'll get posted. And there's like a whole community created of people that are trying to outdo each other with, you know, trying to put a stick cat in some awkward position.
It is. The website is still there, and he has drawn 13,351 cats at $9.95 a piece.
Oh yeah, and I think it was Mark Cuban that got him the deal. I don't know if he partnered with somebody, but I remember that he's like, because I believe in you, and I'm going to give you a shot. And it's like, you know, the other guys are like, no, this isn't going to go anywhere. The most you make is $10, and then you got to take your costs out of that. And it's like, what, they could draw it in like five 5-10 minutes tops. You know, we can do 6 or 7 of these an hour.
Well, it's like the company that you like to deal with, these the Fivers.
Fiverr, yeah.
I'm like, nobody can make money doing that for $5 and do good work that's not giving you a, you know, something that's out of a template, you know, that's like they've done 1,000 of these that look exactly the same. They've just swapped out text or swapped out a picture or swapped out something like that. But it's amazing to me what people will do for $5.
Yes. And that's F-I-V-E-R-R?
It's something weird. It is a weird spelling. As all these internet websites want to have now is a weird spelling.
Right. Right.
But just go search, do something for me for $5 and find it.
I hired a guy in there that was a Justin Bieber lookalike when my daughter liked Justin Bieber, and he
was, I hope that phase has passed for your sake.
It did. Now it's One Direction.
Oh, that's, well, or other, that may just be a bad direction.
Direction. Exactly. But he did a song and sang like happy birthday or something and mentioned their name. Then he went into the Justin Bieber bit and went back out. It was pretty, it was funny for the $5 and, you know, the 2 or 3 minutes or whatever. And it was for a joke. Cause I said, Justin Bieber sent you, you know, a birthday message. And when she opened it up, it's like an impersonator doing this.
Well, I think, you know, did you see the recent Pawn Stars where he's looking to get the bass? Chumley's looking to get a bass guitar signed.
Okay.
So they send him to wherever there's a rock band. I remember which one it was in town, Def Leppard. So he goes and he like looks around the venue, can't find anybody. And he sees what is obviously the worst Prince impersonator ever.
Right.
Across the street.
He's just sitting at the table outside eating or something.
Right. And so he goes over and gets it autographed. He's having a taco outside the... And he's dressed like Prince, but he's obviously not Prince. I mean, everybody that's seen Prince can tell you that this guy is a impersonator, that if maybe you were a mile and a half away with poor eyesight, you might believe was Prince. But we're to believe that Chumley was so stupid that he walked up to him, and he's got to, you know, you figure Chumley's not videoing himself. He's with a crew. And they let him walk up to this guy. If they really thought that was Prince, I don't buy that for a minute. But that's the kind of, see, that's the kind of stuff that it's like, I like the show. I do find that to be a little bit funny, but at the same time, I know it's forced because I don't believe it for a minute.
Right.
It was funny.
Right.
But then it's, to me, it's like, okay, once you're scripting one thing.
Right.
Is it all scripted?
Right.
Because then it starts losing its charm for me.
Or when he met Bob Dylan and got him to sign the album, it put to Chumley, and you're not supposed to do that because it's harder to sell once it's personalized. And it's like, oh, you know, come on.
Right. It nobody wants it to Chumley. They want it to them, unless your name's Bob.
Right. Well, but the thing was, it's like Bob Dylan just walking down the street next to his concert. You know, and you just happen to be there with a film crew. Okay.
Right.
Right.
That happens all the time. I don't believe it for a cotton picking minute. And obviously, we misadjusted the time here because these top 10 lists are going a lot longer than one episode.
Yes.
So why don't we cut this off here? This is like the ultimate, and sorry, come back for the next show. But we can continue this list.
We're on a roll, and we need to hook for the next show here.
Well, it is, because you don't know. You know what? If you have a top 10 list, like you could just go and read them, and that would take a minute. But every one of these shows, it's really obviously sparking conversation.
These are not just like individual jokes, like right. The David Letterman deal. That there's a reason why these are on the list.
These are shows that you should be watching if you're a guy, and they are guy approved. Although, to be fair, I am guy approving. You've got a teenage daughter, so you may know the show. Do you know Pretty Little Liars?
I've heard of it, seen it, but I don't think she watches it.
It's guy approved.
Okay.
There are like 4 hot chicks running around. They're supposedly in high school, but they're all legal, so don't worry about that part. But they're all running around in these short little dresses, high heels that would just make me cry if I had to try to wear them. But this is what they wear the whole show. And, you know, the storyline is actually oddly, weirdly engrossing. But just for the babe factor, I don't care that it's on ABC Family. It's definitely guy approved. What's weird about it to me, though, is ABC Family, owned by Disney. This is the ABC Family. And, you know, one of the girls is a lesbian.
Okay.
And I'm like, ABC Family, how, it's either how far you've gone down or how far you've come up. I just thought that was a weird kind of a character to have in an ABC Family show. I don't care. I'm an adult. I can enjoy the entertainment. But for parents, you being one of them, I mean, I would think if you have a young child, you see something that's on ABC Family, you kind of rubber stamp it because it's like, it's ABC Family, right?
Right, right.
You might not really understand that some of the characters are, you know, boning in these high school girls. And the one was like doing her teacher. That was one of the relationships.
Wow.
They're, you know, drinking. There's a lesbian and ABC Family. So if you are, you know, if you do have kids, this could be a public service announcement for you. We enjoy the show.
Adult control settings.
Right. You might want, but really, but how do you put the family controls on ABC Family? How do you block that one out? I would think if you block that one out, you should pretty much block everything out.
Well, Disney had with that Zoe 101, and she got herself pregnant in real life. Right. So,
and then Miley Cyrus. I mean, right there, case in point. Disney must be so proud. Walt Disney's rolling over in his grave right now.
Disney on ice.
There's a video. I'll find it and I'll post it into the Facebook page and the, or we'll post it at least on the Facebook page or maybe on the main page.
ManCaveConfidential.com.
ManCaveConfidential.com. Miley Cyrus's train wreck of an appearance. Somebody cut this in with original Star Trek footage to where they're sitting on the bridge and it's on the big screen. And Captain Kirk's like, what is that? And they all have these looks on their face.
I saw that one.
Is that genius or not?
It was genius.
And they're all like holding their ears.
Right.
It was pure genius. Whoever put that one together, that was actually comedy gold. But on the next show, we'll talk about the rest of our favorite man shows and hopefully fit those into that episode. If you have man shows that you like, that you think we should consider putting on the list, let us know. You can do that at mailbag@mancaveconfidential.com. You can do that by following us on Twitter at @TheManCaveGuys. You can give our hotline a call, 918-928-CAVE, or you could just hit the contact us button on our website and get a hold of us that way. Anything else you need to add here before the end of the show, Shark?
No, we're good.
That's the hook. We're rolling. Until next time, I am Darren O'Neill.
I'm FJ Shark.
Later.
Later.
It's all farming rock, the jolly, jolly rock. It's all farming beer and tobacco. I spent all my 10 on the last drinking tip. For across the Western Ocean, I didn't wonder. It's all farming rock, the jolly, jolly rock. It's all rock with beer and tobacco. I spent all my 10 on the last drinking tip. For across the Western Ocean, I didn't wonder. It's all farming.